Welcome and thank you for joining us for the Church by the Glades podcast. If you would like more information about Church by the Glades, including service times and directions, visit cbglades.com. We hope you enjoy today's message.
What up, what up, what up, what up? Church by the Glades, what's happening? Come on, you guys can do better than that. Church by the Glades, if you know that God is good all the time, let me hear you make some noise. That is more like it. I want to start by welcoming everybody joining us all around the world online. I want to welcome those of you guys at Lake Worth, Semple Road, Dade CI, Homestead, my life group, Oklahoma, Dubai, wherever you are, welcome. So glad that you guys are here. And for those of you guys that may be new or haven't been here, some of the times I've had the opportunity to come here and preach, I'm just going to introduce myself real quick, then we're going to get right into it. I don't consider myself a guest. I've adopted myself into the family. I'm that brother from another mother. Like, I love this church. I love Pastor David and Lisa. They're the real deal. I say it all the time. I don't have to go through a bunch of, oh, they're so this awesome. Like, Pastor David, by far, one of the most creative pastors on the universe, in the universe. I mean, he's the man. And they're just real. I love them, real deal. What you see is what you get. And I just really appreciate their friendship. They're so kind to me and just allow me to be able to come here and share God's word with you guys. And so I love it every single time. And when they asked me to come share in the series called Tower of Terror, I'm literally thinking like, look at this stage. Like, who wouldn't want to like preach and share doing here? I'm like, well, what should I share? Like what should I call my message? And so I'm wrestling, like, God, what would the title of my message be? And so I'm kind of asking God, like, God, you know, would you speak to him? What should I call it? And I don't know about you guys, but God speaks to me in different ways. He speaks through me through his word, through prayer, through people, through situations, through the Holy Spirit tapping on me. It's not like he's always coming to me saying, Scott, you need to do this every time. Like, that would just be weird. You know what I'm saying? Like, every single time. If that's how God speaks to you, that's cool. I'm just keeping it 100. That's not how it is for me, right? And so I kind of was wrestling, like, with what I was going to title this message and what I would speak and what I would share. And just kind of what came to me as we're talking about Tower of Terror, what dropped in my spirit was I should call this Scary Good. Like, I think the title of this message is Scary Good. Like, I really, like, okay, I think that's the title of the message. So I'm like, well, like, what does Scary Good even mean? And here's, I don't always recommend going to, like, the Urban Dictionary for a definition of something. And matter of fact, it's not biblical most of the time, right? But at this time, like, Scary Good, I looked at the definition of Scary Good, and I really thought it applied to what we're going to talk about today. And I just want to be able to turn around and look at this screen, right? And so Scary Good, the feeling when an idea, ability, level of happiness, creation, work of art becomes so good that fears, failures, successes, losing it, fame, destruction of the creation, and others manifest themselves. The next steps can include the destruction of the goodness itself. Cancel that one. Or, this is what's important, continued elevation to awesomeness. Zuckerberg, ooh, just had a scary good idea for a website. I think Facebook turned out all right, right? And so that's what we're talking about, like, scary good. Like, how can we step into the scary good, and how can we have some scary good success in our own lives? And I was thinking, okay, like, okay, Scott, I'm scary good. I know it sounds cool, and that's maybe what you think you should call it, but is that really what God is speaking to you? And so I'm wrestling with it, like, should I call this scary good? True story, the Lord is my witness. One day this week, about 1:45 in the morning, I looked at an email that I received. Some of you guys may have received the same email. Again, I said through, I received it from the Christian Chicken Company, right? And so here's the email that I got, no lie. Dish up a scary good feast. And then it says, create a spooktacular spread. Here's the deal. Spooktacular is next week. Today, I'm trying to dish up a scary good feast. I think the Christian Chicken and Jesus has spoken, right? And so that's what we're talking about today. I mean, seriously, so I was like, thank you, Jesus, for the confirmation from Chick-fil-A. And Jesus was like, my pleasure. Audibly. And so, like, because here's the deal, like, you don't mess with the Christian Chicken. I don't know if you guys know this. I won't call any names out. But about 2 months ago, there was another chicken company chicken sandwich company that tried to come at the one true chicken sandwich. You know what I'm saying? I'm just here to tell you, they tried to come at the one true chicken sandwich. They were talking noise. Here's the deal. We ain't heard from their chicken sandwich ever since. I'm just saying. Like, to be honest with you, that doesn't even make sense. Like, bro, if I'm the CEO, I can find some chicken and some bread and some sauce. They ain't got no more chicken sandwich. You got to be careful coming against the one true chicken sandwich. I'm just saying. Chick-fil-A said, you know, we were OG. We've been in this game for a real long time. Like, don't mess with us. And so, because I'm thinking about this, it's like scary good. Like, what does that even mean? And we talk about fears and being scared and all these things. And like in America, like, what's Americans' number one fear? Does anybody know what it is? Public speaking. Public speaking is number one fear. Number two, close behind it is what? Fear of heights. Fear of heights is second. And then kind of at the bottom of the list, so those are like 25%, 23%. And then there's a few that are 7% to that 7 or 8% range, which is ghosts, clowns, and zombies. I mean, real quick question by a show of hands. How many of you guys are scared of clowns? I just don't understand, like, what is scary about a clown? You know what I'm saying? Like, and so, literally, like, those of you guys that raise your hand, people are going to be putting clown emojis on your posts on Instagram now. Like, I was scared of clowns. And so I'm getting to think about, like, scared. So what we're going to talk about today is we're going to look at the prophet Daniel's life and how he was a man of God, but he was also a man of prayer. And so we talk about these, praying these scary good prayers. We're going to look at Daniel's life. You think about it, public speaking is number one fear. So like praying in public is like that and then some, right? And so Daniel, again, he's a very faithful man of God, but he was also a man of prayer. And so I'm going to go ahead and set the stage for the time that we're going to look at in Daniel's life. And again, one thing you talk about prayer is that, like, we think prayer is this weird thing that we're uncomfortable with. Like, we're on like The Voice. And like, we're just trying to say this prayer and hope that God would push our button and listen to our prayer. But that's not the case at all. And so let me go ahead and set the stage. So Daniel had been a very, very faithful servant. He had served faithful to God for over 70 years. Everybody say 70. Like 70. So for a really long time. And as he served faithfully and as he honored God, he continued to be elevated. He continued to be promoted. And here's the deal. Like, and you know what happens when you're elevated, you're promoted, when God starts to lift you up and doors start to open, who starts to come out? The haters. That's right. The haters start to come out. I've said it before. As you begin to reach new levels, you're going to get new devils. And so that's what was happening to Daniel as these doors were opening. And I like to say it this way. Oftentimes, especially when you're a follower of Jesus and you're a very faithful man of God like Daniel was, is that the reason why the haters come out is because the truth that you carry contradicts the lies that they live. And so that's what happened with Daniel. They were scared of what was going on. So they're like, man, how can we get this dude caught up? Sick and tired of him being promoted and elevated. And so they kind of came up with a scheme. They said, hey, let's go to King Darius and just tell him, like, hey, if anybody is caught praying to anyone other than you, King, that they'll be thrown in the lion's den. Because they knew that Daniel was going to be praying to God. And they're like, because here's the deal. And they said, I'll just tell the king, like, it'll make everybody more unified. Then you tell him the same thing. So you shoot him an email. I'll talk to him when I see him tomorrow. Let's just kind of get behind the scenes. And let's just say, King, like, look, anybody that's praying to anybody other than you should be thrown in the lion's den. Shot him an email. He read the email. By the time he read the emails, by the time the other dude came, like, hey, yo, King, this is what we should do. And so King Darius kind of wrestled with it for a minute. He's like, should I do this? Like, you know what? Maybe it'll bring more unity. Everybody praying. So anyway, he signed it into law that anybody caught praying to anyone other than him will be thrown in the lion's den. And that's where we pick up in the scripture, Daniel 6. We'll read verse 10 and 11. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had his windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He says he got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he had done previously. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and plea before his God. You see, there's prayer, and then there's prayer like Daniel prayed. And what Daniel's life teaches that here's the deal. Like, prayer has to become our steering wheel and not just our spare tire. In other words, prayer needs to be the things that's guiding our life and that's guiding our situation, not just when we hit a bump in life and then we get a flat tire in life and we want to go to God. Oh, God, will you please help me? But that wasn't Daniel's situation. And so we're going to learn how we can pray some scary good prayers. Matter of fact, I want you to turn around to your neighbor right now and say, I want to pray some scary good prayers. I want you to turn around to your other neighbor, your second choice, and say, you need some scary good prayers. Why y'all so much louder on that one? You know what I'm saying? Like, you need some scary good prayers. And normally when I teach, I'm a three-point type of guy, and I try to make it to where it's memorable. Where you remember, I think a couple times ago I preached here, I think it was what, don't feed the dinosaur. Like, I just want you, you know what I'm saying? Some of you guys may remember that still at the gym, bouncing your eyes. You look into the skies, you know what I'm saying? But what I'm saying, like, so this is going to be easy for you guys to remember. It's going to be I'm going to do 4 points. So you get three and then a bonus. But it's HSPE or high school PE. Everybody say high school PE. So you'll remember this. So the H is this. If you're taking notes, you can write this down. I got 4 points. The first one is this, is that prayers are scary good when they are humble. Everybody say humble. Let's go to verse 10 again. Here's what the Bible says. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had his windows in his upper chamber. They were open towards Jerusalem. The Bible says that he got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. And so in other words, Daniel, three times a day, what he do is says that he got down on his knees three times a day, got down on his knees and prayed and gave thanks before his God. In other words, Daniel found himself in this very humble position of worship and prayer. And so my question is, when was the last time you found yourself in this humble position of worship, praying to the one true God? And some of you guys, some of maybe the older generation, or some of you don't like the stuff, like, here, you be hating on the people that got holes in the knees of their jeans. Daniel was the first one that wore holes in his jeans. You know what I'm saying? And see, some of y'all are hating, but the reason why, you don't know that a brother been praying on his knees three times a day. And some of you guys, the reason why you ain't got holes in your jeans is because you ain't been down on your knees praying to the one true God. I'm just saying. There's your permission from here on out. Ain't nobody else try to hate on you about the holes in your jeans. We done. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to hear nothing about it. Some of y'all was like, up here preaching with holes in his knees. That's the Lord convicting you right now. I'm just saying. And so Daniel was in this very humble position of worship, praying to the one true God. And because the thing is this, that I hear stories of people that are in my church or in your church that are men and women of God. And we hear stories of them falling from grace. And here's the reason. I'm going to tell you this. Oftentimes, if you're falling from grace, you're not finding yourself in this humble position of worship, praying to God. Because here's the deal. When you're on your knees praying to God, when you fall, you're not going to fall very far. And that's what we learned from Daniel's life, is that you got to humble yourself. And the Bible tells us this, is that God gives grace to the humble. He opposes the proud. He gives grace to the humble. He says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will do what? He will lift you up. Exactly. You're exactly right. He'll exalt you. He'll lift you up. That's what the Bible says. And that's what Daniel's life shows us. And so he was on his knees praying. And speaking of humility, I told you guys a little bit of my story. Maybe the other times that I was here. Some of you guys, this is your first time hearing me preach. I was in prison before. And I spent about 12 years in prison system as a warden. Let's get that out real quick. Normally, I let it linger a little bit, but obviously, some of you guys ain't been to church. You weren't here the last time. You're like, oh. Yeah. Where was I at? But anyway, so I was in prison system, and so one thing about the prison system, what I would do is I would like to walk the units. And so every single day I'd walk the units, meaning I'd walk like the areas where the inmates lived, and I'd walk the yard. And one thing about the prison system is it's very racially segregated. Like on the yard, you have the SAs over here, the blacks over here. It's very separated and segregated. But it's also the same place that you would see different religions represented. It's kind of like, it's just kind of like the church. You know what I'm saying? It's very separated and segregated and different. And so the only difference between, you know, them and many of us is we didn't get caught. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, like we've all had a journey that we're going on. And so as I'd walk through the units, I would go through the units, different people were praying. But one thing about prison, like, you don't want to be humble in prison. It's about being tough and macho, and you got to let everybody know, like, you're representing, like, hey, this is me, doc, like, hey, man, back, you know what I'm saying, like, yo, what's up, like, you know what I'm saying, like everybody just mean mugging, this is what you do, like, what, everybody's got a problem, like, what, just looking at, you know, that's kind of what you do in prison, right? But when I would go through the units every single day, there was this, let's just call him, this inmate, his name was Johnson, And every day I'd go through the units, I would see Johnson, just like Daniel, on his knees in this very humble position of worship, praying to Jesus out loud. Everybody's looking at Johnson, but nobody would disrespect Johnson every single time. I could be there late at night hanging out. I'd go through the units, Johnson praying. In the morning, sometime before they would get out and go in the yard, I see Johnson praying. And again, it's not easy being humble and finding yourself in this humble position of worship. But one of the things that we can learn from Johnson's life and from Daniel's life is that we got to find ourselves in that position of worship. By show of hands, how many of you guys at all of our locations online, how many of you guys do yoga? By show of hands. All right. By show of hands, how many of you guys work out? Keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. All right. How many of you guys want to work out? You know what I'm saying? Thought about working out. You know what I'm saying? So that's everybody. So I'm just saying, the next time that you go to do yoga, the next time that you go to work out, the next time that you think about you might have wanted to go work out, why don't you find yourself and just take a moment to kneel down and get in this humble position of worship and pray to the one true God? Because I'm telling you, when you do it, that's when you'll see things begin to move, because that's how God works, his humble position of worship. Prayers are scary good when they are specific. Everybody say specific. So you think about it. So again, it's been written in law that anybody caught praying to anyone other than King Darius be thrown in the lion's den. And so again, the haters, they're coming out. And one thing about the haters, man, they'll be real slick about how they get you caught up and what they try to do. They even lie on you. And so they're like, hey, here's the deal. I know that he keeps his windows in his upper chamber open towards Jerusalem. Hey, man, so here's what you're gonna do, man. You get that, you got the new iPhone 11. Get some good pics. You go get some pics of Daniel, get some pics and some video. They got pics and video of Daniel praying to the one true God. And they posted it on Instagram, they posted it on Facebook. They sent it directly to King Darius. Like, look, your boy Daniel, he's over here praying to God. King Darius, you'd written it in law that anyone praying to anyone other than you would be done what? What happened to them? They'd be thrown where? In the lion's den. So King Darius, what are you going to do about that? And King Darius wrestled with it. You know why? Because he knew that Daniel was a very faithful man of God. But he also knew that as a king, he needed to be what? He needed to be a man of his word. And so he wrestled with it. It's like, all right. Y'all go get Daniel. They went and got Daniel to get him ready to be thrown in the lion's den. And almost as a very specific prayer, you get a chance, just read the book of Daniel just from the perspective of prayer. The last words King Darius said to Daniel, he looked at him and said this. He said, may your God, whom you continually serve, deliver you. And he took the rock, threw Daniel in the lion's den, took the rock and covered it up. And here's the deal, like, I don't know, like, what goes on in a lion's den. I've never been in one. But I do know this, I do know that cats are evil, and like lions are like a whole nother level of evil. I'm sorry for all my cat lovers out there. If you got a complaint, send your email to charlie@cbglades.com. I don't want to hear it, but anyway. So here's the, like, cats are evil, right? And so all they throw him in the lion's den again. And one thing about cats, like some of you guys, that like every National Geographic special is the same thing about lions, right? It's always like some lions, and if you can watch it on YouTube, and National Geographic, it's always like a lion over here, like rah, 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 rah. And there's always like a pack of antelope, and they're over here just like antelope-ing, you know what I'm saying? So they're antelope-ing, and the lion's over here like, rah, 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 rah. And then the antelope's over here like antelope-ing, you know what I'm saying? They're antelope-ing. And then it's always like one antelope that wanders off from the pack. Oh, butterfly, butterfly. And then it's like, then the music gets real intense, like, dunna, dunna, dunna. And it's like, and next thing you know, the lion jumps on the antelope. You see fur flying, you see blood everywhere. And the next thing you know, the antelope is dead. And that's a whole nother sermon that I could preach about why it's important that you stay in community and that you come to church and that you go to a rally and that you be a part and that you serve and that you do what God is doing. Because if you wander off from community and try to do it on your own, you're going to end up dead. I didn't say it, you did. And so King Darius, he goes home to his palace, knowing that Daniel was thrown in the lion's den. He wrestled with it all night. Like, this is this great, faithful man of God. And I had him thrown in a lion's den. And he goes the next morning, expect to find Daniel mauled and bloody. And he goes up to the lion's den. He tells they took the rock off the lion's den. And here's the deal again. I don't know what happens in lion's den. As a matter of fact, I told you, lions are scary. Matter of fact, one time I went to South Africa, me and my buddy Jacob, he's a videographer from LA, and I was in South Africa preaching at Hillsong. And of course, if I'm in South Africa, like I wanted to get some shots of lions. Like not like from like a little cage or anything. I wanted like take us where we can go see real lions up close and personal. And so the guy that was driving us, it wasn't like a tour guide, it was like a Hillsong staff member, right? And so we're in a car and we drive through like this lion, and like literally like lions are like me to you. And in the car, one thing it said, last thing God told us, we're going to, no matter what you do, don't roll down the window and don't open the door. It's cool. We go in there looking. But again, we're wanting to get some good shots. And my buddy Jacob, he's from LA. Matter of fact, Jacob's on this trip with me. And it's like he wanted to get some good shots. So we go and there was like a male lion, man. Like, he's like, oh man, I want to get that shot. So Jacob opens the door. He opens the door because he wants to get a good shot. There's too much stuff blocking the lens and all that. So he's going, he's getting a shot. And about the time as he's getting some shots of the lion, matter of fact, we have real footage. I'm not making this up. Like, we have footage of when we're out there. This is not from somebody's Instagram. This is us out there shooting the lions, right? And so, but we're just driving in a car, not like an armored vehicle, like a car, a little car. And so he's getting a shot. And about the time he's getting the shot of the man, the female lion is back behind us getting ready to come take us out. Because that's what happens. That's how they hunt. The male distracts you, and then the female attacks you. That's a whole nother sermon I could preach right there. Oh, no. No, I didn't mean that. No, ladies. It's all good. I didn't mean that part. I meant like that's what the enemy does. The enemy distracts you. And sin distracts you. Next thing you know, the enemy attacks you, and you're over here looking at something that you're not supposed to be looking at. And the next thing you know, you're taken out. And so Darius comes back knowing that Daniel was going to be taken out. They roll the stone off, looking to see Daniel mauled. And Daniel looks up, pokes his head up like, what's up? You know what I'm saying? What up, what up? And so they're like, what? What happened? How in the world weren't you mauled in this situation? You guys want to know what happened here? Here's the deal. You got to learn to read between the lines. Man, come on. I worked on that one. Y'all got to give me some more. That was good. I don't give me away. I don't know exactly what Daniel prayed, but here's the deal. What I'm thinking, he prayed a very, very specific prayer. Lord, I pray that you would send your angels into this lion's den and that I would not be harmed. Lord, I'm not new to this, Lord. I've been true to this. I've been on my knees praying. I've been praying very, very specific prayers 3 times a day, over and over and over and over again. Jump down to verse 21, Daniel 6 still. Then Daniel said, O king, live forever. God sent his angel to shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me because I was found blameless before him and also before you. O king, I have done no wrong. Let me reverse back real quick. He said, blameless before you. In other words, I don't care what the haters say because I know what I've done. But the most important thing is also before you. In other words, he's saying that I've been before God. And many of you, you're wondering why you're not able to close some of the lion's mouth because you haven't been before God. It's not enough to come in here on a Sunday. It's not enough to drop a few dollars in the offering bucket. The question is, have you been before God? Have you been in this very humble position of worship? Prayers are powerful when they're specific. Don't just pray, oh God, just help free me from this addiction. No, God, I pray that I never drive anywhere near the dope man's house. Oh God, just help me quit using these pain meds. No, God, I pray that I never get another prescription drug as long as I live. Lord, just please just send me a man of God. No, God, I pray that I would never go to the club and look for a godly man. I would show up to rally this Friday. I would show up to church this weekend, and I would look for the God. Oh, help me to be a better husband. No, God, I pray that you would give me the right words to say and that I would treat my wife like the princess that she is. Oh, help me deal with this anger. No, I pray that you would give me a cool heart and a cool posture and the right words to say, because the tongue has the power of life and death and those who love it. What is the it that you love? Are you loving speaking life or are you loving speaking death? That's what I want. Very, very specific prayers. I pray that this cancer would leave my body. I pray that you would heal my grandmother. I pray that my son or daughter would come to know the Lord. I pray that these insecurities would get off of me. I pray that you would restore my marriage. I pray that you would increase my finances. I pray that you would give me blessing and breakthrough. I pray that the blessings would happen. I pray that not only blessings for me, but blessings would happen for my family and my friends and my cousins and my brothers and my sisters, because that's the God that we serve. Because I understand this, is that you have not because you ask not. I'm trying. Specific prayers. In Oklahoma, we have these things called tornadoes. Now, I'm not trying to compare natural disasters to one another, but I mean, I know y'all got hurricanes and sometimes it may go a little bit off, but for the most part, you know it's coming. You even know the name of the hurricane before it gets here. You know what I'm saying? I just found out last night that they rotated. Not only, I knew it was alphabetical order, but I didn't know it was male, female. Pastor Charlie taught me that last night, so now I'm excited. We was going through I know the whole rest of the year, the rest of whatever to Z. What was Z? I don't even know what the Z name was. Zebra. I'm thinking we have tornadoes. And so like with a hurricane, you can prepare. Y'all buy up all the water in one day in the whole state. And so like, but with a tornado, like you might just be at your house. Next thing you know, you wake up and you like six houses down. You know what I'm saying? Just gone. I remember one year, many years ago, before, you know, a brother had, you know, a real tornado shelter. I remember my kids were young and there was a storm that was coming our way. It was in a town called El Reno, which was about 20 minutes from where we live, but it said it was headed our direction. And we really pay attention to the meteorologists in Oklahoma because, man, what they got to say is really important, right? And so, like, I remember the storm was coming our way and they told us it was softball-sized hail. First of all, that should be illegal. You know what I'm saying? Like, softball-sized hail was coming our way. And I remember this, like, we're listening to the radio and the storm's getting closer and my kids were young. And so my wife, like we got bicycle helmets and football helmets and put them on our boys. And then we got blankets and then we got in the interior like bathtub and then we put mattresses over us. It was like a ghetto storm shelter. You know what I'm saying? And so we get in there and I remember as the storm is coming, the lights go out, the power goes out and we just grabbed hands and I just pray, God, I pray that in the name of Jesus that you would keep my family safe and that my house would not be any destruction or disaster. I pray that you would protect us. I pray that somehow this storm would go around us and I pray that we would not have any destruction or devastation. Power goes out. Storm comes. Boom. Boom, rain, wind. Next morning, you go out and look at our neighborhood. It's crazy. Like our trampoline was in our neighbor's yard, three houses down. It's crazy. Like, and then over there, and if you those you guys that work in insurance, you kind of know how this works. Like when you start to have devastation, destruction, they kind of declare a whole area like a disaster. So you come and they'll just know that they need to replace roofs or whatever on all the houses. And so over the next couple of weeks, people started getting their roofs and stuff replaced. So we finally called, our adjuster came out And before he went up, he's like, yeah, we replaced their roof up the street. And here's the deal, like, man, I'm going to hook you up. How many of you guys know, like, that just blesses you? It's, like, scary good when somebody says the word hook up. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just puts a smile on your face, right? Like, it's an impact-resistant lifetime warranty. That's what we're going to do for you. And so he goes and, like, he goes up and does whatever, like, you know, roofer, adjuster people do. He goes up and gets on the roof, and he's looking around and, and then like 15 minutes later, he comes down. He was on the phone up there. He's like, Mr. Williams, like, I've never seen anything like it. I'm like, really? Was it that bad? He's like, no, you don't have any damage to your roof. I'm like, seriously? I mean, since then, I've learned to say more spiritual things like hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I prayed a very specific prayer. I'm here to tell you, like, man, don't just pray these lame, whatever prayers. Be very, very specific because prayers are powerful when they're specific. And Third thing, if you're taking notes, you can write this down, is this. His prayers are scary good when they are persistent. Everybody say persistent. Humble, specific, persistent. So let's be persistent. Let's go back to verse 10. Here's what the Bible says. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had his windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees, how many times a day? Three times a day, and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done what? Previously. In other words, he did it three times a day as he had did before. In other words, this was something he did over and over and over and over and over and over again. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and plea before his God. You see, a lot of us pray and nothing happens and we're like, I'm done, I'm out. But what Daniel's life teaches is that if you want to pray scary good prayers, you need to pray over and over and over and over again. That situation you've been praying for, why did you give up on it? You got to pray over and over and over and over again. As a matter of fact, at all of our locations, everybody here, I want you to hold up one finger and hold out your hand. Everybody, this is participate. Everybody's got to do this, all right? And I want you to clap your hand like this. All right? Everybody, two fingers. All right, three fingers. All right, four fingers. All right, five fingers. And that's how prayer is. You pray over and over and over and over again. It gets louder and louder and louder and louder. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. When you do it over and over and over again, it's a sound that not only you hear, but the people around you hear. More importantly, it's a sound that God hears. You know, I told you, they said, Daniel, you're going to be thrown in the lion's den. He kept praying. Daniel, you're in the lion's den. He kept praying. Daniel, you're out of the lion's den. He kept praying. You know, I told you about this inmate Johnson. Every single time I'd walk through the unit, it's just like, Daniel, I see Johnson praying. And I began to learn a little bit more about about Johnson's story. And what I learned about Johnson was this. He told me, he's like, Warden, like I was wrongfully convicted. I'm not even supposed to be in here. But you got to be careful. No disrespect, my folks at Dade CI and Homestead, is that a lot of times people in prison, everybody says they were innocent. But there was something about Johnson that you just believe. And then again, all the other inmates like, Johnson, why do you keep praying to Jesus? He ain't showed up yet. And he's like, here's the deal. I could care less what other people say. Like, I'm praying because I want my good name to be restored. At this point in time, Johnson had already done six calendar years. And with his good time, he was set to get out within the next year. They're like, Johnson, you know how to do this time, dog. Why do you keep praying over and over again? Just do this time and get out of here. But he said, I could care less what they say. Here's the, like, he prayed with his eyes on Jesus and not on his situation. I'm here to tell you that's what you got to do. You got to focus on God and not focus on the situation that's in front of you. He didn't allow his outward circumstances affect his inward assurance that God was going to show up. So that's why he said he prayed over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. That's what you got to do. And some of you guys, I don't know what that situation for you is. Like, what is your lion's den? What's that thing that only you and God know about? That healing that you're needing. That pornography, those inappropriate conversations that you're having with somebody that's not your spouse. How you talking to your kids. The anger you're holding on to. The unforgiveness that you're holding on to. The disrespect that you're having for your parents. The hating on people for no reason. Other than you're jealous, disliking somebody that you don't even know, disliking somebody because of their political party, disliking somebody because of something they said on Facebook that you don't even know. What is your lion's den? And this is the point in time when they'll come play behind me to make me sound more spiritual as I close. And you'll learn that you got to learn to pray with. Pray with your eyes on God and not on your situation. Prayers are powerful when they're humble, specific, persistent, and the E is expectant. And some of you guys will say, Pastor Scott, you don't understand my situation. You don't understand what I did last night. You don't understand all the wrong that I've done. You don't understand how dark my situation is. I'm here to tell you that God often shines his brightest lights when we're in our darkest places. And many of you say, I'm in a dark place, but God is saying that's why Jesus came. And many of you are like, well, what does this mean for me? Like, here's the deal. Like, I'm telling you this. The Bible says in Mark 11, like, whatever you ask for in faith, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. This is not some genie in a bottle that you rub the bottle, but the believe part means that God wants to increase your faith and God wants to increase your expectancy. The question is, do you believe it? Do you believe that God is going to show up and your situation is going to blow up? Because when you begin to believe it, it begins to do something in you. But you got to pray these humble prayers. You got to be very specific. You got to be persistent over and over and over and over and over and over again. And then most importantly, you got to be expectant. You got to be expectant that something's going to happen. You're in this humble position. What the deal is, you got to learn to see the invisible but in order to receive the impossible. Like, here's, like, you can't see it, but you can feel it, and you begin to expect it. And as I told you, as I would walk through these units, I see this inmate Johnson. And I remember like it was yesterday, it was many years ago. As I'm going into one of the units, and I see Johnson over there out the corner of my eye, sitting on the edge of his bed, and I'm talking to a couple of the officers, and we're having a conversation. And no sooner than I could finish my conversation, Johnson came to me and said, Warden. I'm like, what's up, Johnson? He's like, I got my papers. I'm like, what are you talking about, Johnson? He said, I got my papers. He said, my case has been overturned. He says, I'm getting out of this joint. He said, I've been praying over and over and over and over again for over 6 years that God would restore my good name. He said, I got my papers. And I'm here to tell you, my friends, I don't care what you're dealing with. God's got your papers, your finances, your bank account, your healing, your body, your situation, your unforgiveness, your blessing and breakthrough. God's got your papers, my friend. I don't care what you're holding on to. That business you want to start, God's got your papers. That godly woman you've been praying for, sir, God's got your papers. Young lady, you want to do something special, God's got your papers. Like, you've been divorced, and will God ever send me someone good? God's got your papers. Some of you couples have tried to get pregnant for a really long time. I've had 2 messages just since I've been here about people saying that's what they've been doing, praying over and over, miscarriage after miscarriage, but they began to believe and to expect it. And some of them are 29 weeks, and some of them just found out they're pregnant. I'm here to tell you, God's got your papers. You've had some people that have hurt you. But you're the one going on and carrying all the weight of the hurt. God said, I want you to turn that over. Because I got your papers. I got something I want to put in your life. That son or daughter that's far from God. Man, wipe those tears away. God's got your papers in the balcony. You came in here today with lots of questions. We serve an amazing God that says, I got the answers. I got the solutions. I got your papers. And it all starts with scary good prayers that are humble, specific, persistent, and expectant. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for every single person that's under the sound of my voice and all across this room. I just want you just to be still and quiet right where you're at and allow God to speak to you right now. And if you'd be honest enough to say, man, my prayer life is not where it needs to be. I can't remember the last time I came to you humbly on my knees. And more importantly, God, specific prayers. God, I just kind of pray an in general prayer and I do the whole spare tire thing, but I want that to change. And persistent, God, there's some things that I've prayed for that I've given up on and I want to pray over and over. And most importantly, God, I want you to increase my faith all across this room, if that's your prayer before God, I want you to raise your hand. I just want to pray for you. Almost every single hand's raised, God. I pray for every single hand that's raised all across this room, God. I pray right now, Lord, as hands are being raised, we see the chains of addiction are being broken, God. We see faith that's beginning to be increased, God. We see people that are no longer going to be scared to pray, but they're going to pray boldly, God. They're going to pray with expectancy that you're going to listen to their prayers, God. I pray they can't get through this week without the blessing and breakthrough. And just like Daniel, God, may people look at them and say that there's something amazing on their life. May people, their enemies and their haters, come at them and say, oh, I thought that you were going to take them out. But may you close those lions' mouth. May you close the enemy's mouth. Will you put a hedge of protection around their finances, around their health, around their relationships, around their children, around their situation, God? Bless your people. We love you and we thank you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's children, raise the roof and make some noise, because we serve an amazing God. Come on, let's give God all that he deserves. Come on, let's just give him 10 seconds of praise. I want you just to raise the roof. Just make some noise for Jesus right now. Come on, you do better than that at a Dolphins game. Come on, we serve an amazing God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thanks again for listening to this week's message. We hope you enjoyed the podcast today. To hear more messages like this, make sure you subscribe and share with your friends. Don't forget to stay connected with us by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at CB Glades at Pastor D. Hughes.